Good to have the Shelbys here. They have been back in the States since May, and he just told me they've traveled 12 or 9,000 miles since May. So they have been on the road a lot. So his family, his kids, sing. If you all want to just come on up here at this time, his kids sing, and they're going to treat us to a special tonight. And they sing in English, and I heard in a different language as well. So I'm thrilled to hear them sing. I like his son's name. His name is Caleb, so I like that. We kind of hit it off pretty good. So, all right, after they sing, he's going to come up and he's going to bring the message for us this evening.
There? Okay. All right. Amen. It's good to be with y'all again tonight. I'm still here from the first time, but anyway, it's good to be here and where people actually speak English. The way we've taught them in the schools, I don't think this is on yet. Hello? Okay. Sorry. We got down to Arkansas, and we landed in Dallas. When we got back here from Kenya, and they were so excited. Wow, we're in America, you know. We flew from London all the way to Dallas, and they were really looking forward to this trip to see grandparents. They're a lot older now, and Kaylee's really excited about, you know, seeing America and all that. So we landed in Dallas, and we're in America now. We're excited. We're standing in these long lines, you know, even in Dallas anyway. So it was just like Kenya almost, you know. to get anything done. You sat in a long line to get it done. But anyway, we finished that, and then we had to board another plane, and we're going, leaving Dallas to go to Arkansas. And I said, now we're leaving America, is what she said. We're leaving America, and now we're going to Arkansas, like it's another country. And we're in there and going to church and having, you know, they're having birthdays, you know, every service they sing happy birthday to the people in the week or Sunday night or whatever. And they're singing happy birthday to y'all and all this kind of stuff. And that's how we talk, and that's, we understand that. But the kids are like, is that really English? And so up here we don't have to have that problem or discussion with anybody unless you're from down there. If you're from down there, I don't know. Amen. Make me feel at home a little bit. So it's good to be back. We've had our share of like the crisis that was up there, and you never know when missionaries are going through difficulties and things like that with the government and politics in the country, because there's nothing that we can control. And I know Brother Ben has had trouble, and he's contacted us from time to time while he's been in Madagascar, seeing if there was an out to be able to come to Nairobi to be with us. But we're about 6 hours from Nairobi ourselves on the other side, and so he was able to go to South Africa, I think Miss Angel said. And so so we've been in contact with him. But during those election violences, every direction, there you are, every direction out of our city was blocked. The roads were blocked going out of the city in any direction. And so we couldn't drive to go anywhere, even if we had to leave the country. We couldn't move. But in our town, it was safe like a big bubble. And God protected us and kept us safe right there. We were still able to do some soul winning, though it was kind of risky, because the guy you're going with is a national pastor or he's a college student or something like that, and he's afraid of running into the other tribes, you know, and stuff like that. But we tried to do what we could, and we're still able to go to church, supermarket, and different things like that. But it was kind of tense. Wasn't sure how we would be able to stay there and how safe we were. But God took care of us, and we thank God for that, and we didn't have to leave or anything. Thousands and thousands of people died during that election violence, and it caused a lot of orphans. And that's the thing that I was mentioning earlier. There's 19 million children under the age of 15, but there's 5 million of those are orphans. 2.5 million are caused because of AIDS, and that's why we have a push to try to reach those orphans and try to train them up in a Christian family environment, because they're ostracized a lot of times. People, family members don't have enough money to take care of them. And God put the church there to be able to meet some of their needs. I believe that because James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before the Lord is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And there's a lot of affliction. And we in America don't understand the affliction in most places around the world. And so we're praying that God would open those doors. And I actually got a phone call today that man was going to support orphans for a whole year, 20 orphans for a whole year, that he would help us to be able to minister to them and visit them in their affliction. And so that affliction is getting a little bit better. You know how you have election crisis or you have economic crisis? You still feel like you're in a crisis, but the Lord gives you faith and the Lord gives you a boost to help you realize that God's still with you. Amen. And so we thank God for that, and that's a blessing. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter number 9. These are very familiar verses, I know, but it doesn't hurt to go over them again and again to help us remind ourselves about missions, about what Jesus Christ did on this earth. While he was here, he took 12 men, and one of them ended up being close to the devil. But he tried to train and pour everything that he had into their lives, and that was his plan for the world to be saved, is through those men. And just that simple philosophy is what we've used while when we go to Kenya. I know I won't be there forever. I'm not a nationalized citizen or anything like that. We have to pay visas and work permits and everything like that, and anything could happen. You know, the administration here in the States is trying to push some laws in Kenya right now to try to legalize abortion and things on a new constitution they're trying to vote in by the end of this year. And so they're offering lots of handouts and lots of problems and things like that. If you look into it, I don't know how you could find that, but I've gotten emails from missionaries from the other side in Kenya how that they're trying to do that, and even Biden's trip over there. So we don't know what all is in that constitution. We're not sure what there could be some things to bind our work over there, but God, I don't know how long it's going to take for us to be over there, or how if God you know closes the door. But those men that we've trained and we tried to put our life into, we pray that they will continue on and have a missionary burden throughout the country. We have a mother church over there, one of the churches that we've started. It's in a city. It's a bigger church, better equipped as far as not in a rural area, have some good givers and tithers and things. That church is now a sending church for some of these later churches that we've started. And so exactly the thing that you're doing here, we're trying to produce and be over there, because God is the same. And this word, though it's in a different language, it says the same thing. It produces the same thing. It has the same kind of fruit. And we thank God for that. And so right here, what Jesus Christ did on this earth, that's what we should be doing in our lives. That's what we should be doing in our ministries. Verse number 35 of chapter 9 says this: "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us what we can learn from this tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us tonight. God, I pray for this church. Pray for preacher being away. Pray that you protect him and keep him safe and give him fruit for his labor down there in camp. And Lord, I pray that you bless those in Kenya, the pastors and the churches going on. Pray that you continue to bless them as well in the service tonight. Please fill me with your power and help me to speak the words that you would have the hearers to know and to hear. And God, please help us be tender for your calling, tender for your voice tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and please bless everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right here, God, Jesus Christ, in his plan, went around the cities and villages with his disciples to preach the gospel. A lot of times they were hindered and they were having problems and doing everything exactly the way Jesus did, but they were trying. They tried to cast out devils. They tried to do this, and they saw Jesus at work, and they tried to do what they could do. Because of their lack of faith, because of their doubting, because of their problems in their own personal life, they couldn't do everything that Jesus did, but Jesus still did it. Amen? And so everything that Jesus did on this earth, he was preparing those guys, and he was preparing this earth to leave these guys doing what he was doing on this earth. And he did it full force, because he knew that there was a day that he was going to leave. He knew that there was another plan, not just for him to preach, not just for him to tell about God and his glory, not just to just heal people, heal the blind man. That's not what his purpose was, to heal the blind man or the leper. That's not what his purpose was. His purpose was to die on that cross. Amen? And that brings it to us. Our purpose for living is to die to ourselves as we go about and do God's will in our life. It's not our job to start churches. Amen? It's not our job to save souls. It's not our job to fill church houses. It's our job to die to ourselves so God can use us, and then all those other things will happen the way that they should be. Amen? Amen? It's all going to happen. It's all going to do right. But we have to realize our purpose for living is dying to ourselves and letting the Lord Jesus Christ live in through us. But right here, the last verse number 38. And then I'll ask a question. It says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I'll read it again. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." As a young person learning how to give to missions, as a young boy, I realized that there was a need for me to put money in the offering plate. Amen? You understand that need? You support missionaries all over the world? Many of you have caught that vision. Many of you have got on board and you're supporting missions. Amen? Because somebody showed you that there was a need. Or, I've got ahead of myself. Somebody showed you that there was a need to pray for missionaries. And pray for the world to be saved. And pray for laborers. Amen? When you start praying, you start seeing what the problems are. You start seeing the needs that are there, and not okay, now we're to money now, okay? All right, so I already said that part. So then you see a need that you need to give and get out of your pocket what you can help to give. Amen? But if we're praying for laborers, that God would send laborers to places that have never heard the gospel, and I'm on my knees praying in front of God, and I'm praying that God would send somebody, I'm putting my offering in the offering if someone's available, if someone's willing, if someone's willing to go to that forsaken land to preach the gospel, if they're willing, then there's money in the church. There's money in the finances of the church to be able to send them when they come through. Amen? But we're not finished praying. Are we together? We don't finish praying. And this is what happened to me. My prayer was not enough to meet the need of the burden of my heart to pray for those lost souls around the world to be saved. My pocket was not enough for me to meet the need, okay, to fulfill the burden of my heart to get those people around the world that needed to go to preach the gospel to the world. Amen? I didn't have enough money in my pocket to meet the burden of my heart to get the gospel everywhere around the world. Amen? So there it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I had to be willing to go. And that was the final step to be able to fulfill that will that God wanted me to do, to fulfill the burden that I have in my heart to in order to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Maybe you fulfill the burden by just praying, with not giving or doing anything. You fulfill that burden in your heart by just praying. Maybe you fulfill that burden in your heart to reach the world with the gospel by just giving and praying. But maybe, young people, you're here tonight, maybe God wants to fulfill that burden in your heart by you actually going as you've seen others go. Amen? And this is a question that I have to go along with that verse. What could God do if I really prayed? If I prayed for missions, the way Jesus is trying to tell His disciples here, pray ye. Don't stop. Pray without ceasing. He stayed up all night praying before He chose His disciples. He was in the wilderness 40 days and was tempted by the devil and surpassed all the temptations that even come to us. But He was able to be victorious because He was out there in the will of God praying and getting on His face before God and knowing God's will for His life. Amen? We know He's God, but He still had to depend on the Holy Spirit. He taught His disciples how to pray so that there would be laborers in His harvest. We don't need to pray just to have bread on our table. Amen? That is the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But that's not, it's forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our sins as we forgive our, help me out. I'm forgetting in English. As we forgive our debtors. Okay? Lead us not into temptation. But that's not, that's a baby's prayer. A Christian baby's prayer. How that they can pray and depend on God for their daily needs. But what He's telling them here in this verse is to pray so that there'll be laborers on the mission field. So there'll be laborers in places where there's no one preaching to them the gospel. But if I really prayed for missions like Jesus is telling me to, could I ever stop praying for missions? Amen? Could I ever stop praying? Would there ever be a silent time in my life or in my thought or in my heart when I would stop praying for some part of this world or some missionary that our church supports? Would there ever be a time? You'd have to talk all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That kind of goes along with it. Amen? But pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. The world would be reached with the gospel if we prayed like Jesus is trying to teach us to pray right here. Amen? Because we don't pray, we're not supposed to pray to fulfill our obligation of 30 minutes of praying. Amen? Or fulfill Well, I've covered Africa today. Well, I've covered this. But pray that there's laborers there. And my prayer cannot be finished until there's laborers everywhere. Amen? My prayer cannot be finished until souls around the world are being saved and the Lord's coming back because that last soul's coming to be saved. Amen? That's how we really pray. But what could God do for me in missions if I really prayed for missions? That's a big question that I have to ask myself. Am I really praying like I ought to pray for missionaries? Remember hearing Tom Williams one time, he was at a revival meeting, and he just got up and he didn't preach. He didn't open his Bible. He just started praying. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And I don't know, it was probably 2 hours long. He was praying for different missionaries off the top of his head of people around the world. Do we really know our missionaries to pray for them that there'll be laborers in every part of the world? Amen? That needs to help us. Jesus Christ is teaching us how to pray. But if we really prayed, what could God do for us? If we remembered the people in prisons, the youth around the world, the schools, the medical needs and the problems all over the world, the political problems. I mean, just praying for a country, let's say just like Kenya. If you just pray for Kenya and the Kenyans and the Shelbys and the other families that maybe you know there in Kenya, that's just barely scratching the surface. There's people there too. There's individuals. Every one of those prisoners that you saw on the slides there, that is an entire family and sometimes a whole village that needs to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to broaden our vision as we pray for the lost around the world so that we can see what God sees when we pray for them. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Man, if we really do that and we're confident in our prayer, God's going to help us to know what we're doing in prayer is doing something on the mission field, and we'll believe in what we pray. Once you pray, it talks about John, pray believing. Amen? Have you ever prayed where you didn't believe? Well, I don't really know, but I'll say the words. I'm not really sure if this guy really means it, but I'll pray with him to see if he wants to get saved. You ever been there? Ever said, well, God, I need a job, but, I was working out all hard yesterday. I was trying to look for a job and all this kind of stuff, but I'll pray again today because I'm supposed to pray, but I don't really believe you're going to give it to me. You ever been there? You ever prayed that? Give us this day our daily bread, but I'm just looking forward to fasting again today. because that's what you go out, you pray for rain and you don't carry an umbrella. I mean, do we really believe in our prayers? But if we really pray like Jesus is trying to teach us to pray, then we'll believe that missions is the only way to get the gospel to the lost and dying world around us. We'll really believe it with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind that the world could be saved if I did a little bit more for missions. If I prayed like Jesus is teaching me, then I'll be part of that process and I'll believe that God can even use me to help the world to be saved around the world. Amen? Remember, Jesus prayed for His disciples and all those that would ever be saved because of their ministries. Amen? He's even prayed for us. Do you believe Jesus believed in His prayer when He believed that people would be saved because of the result of His disciples? And how that Pentecost would lead people to Christ? And how the gospel would come to America? Do you think all of that was in the mind of God when He was praying there over Jerusalem? I believe it was. He knew it all. Amen? He knew that you would come to know Christ as your personal Savior, and He knew you'd be part of this mission project that He started way back then. Do you really believe when you pray for a missionary that God's going to use them and protect them and provide for them? If you really believed it, amen, that'll give you a lot of confidence to help you pray more. Amen? Help you give more. It helps you be willing to go across the street and win souls because you're part of that process of people around the world being saved. This is still part of the world. Amen? This is still part of the world. We can still go and knock on doors and huts, whatever you want to knock on, and You can see people saved anywhere around the world. And you're part of that process because you believe what you're praying. Somebody that doesn't pray for world mission or evangelism or evangelization of the world is not going to get on the street and start knocking doors and start going around from person to person, try to win them to Christ. They're not going to do it because they're not praying. They're not starting in the process to pray in missions. But if we really prayed, then we're going to believe it. Amen. We pray before we go soul, we pray that the Holy Spirit would open the doors and help guide our mouths and guide our footsteps and guide us to the people that need it most, that need to be saved. We ask the Lord to help us. But if we don't believe what we're praying, we're never going to try to look for somebody that's needy. We're not going to look for somebody that needs to be saved. And that's all part of missions. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Yes, Jesus did what He did. Walked, 16 to 30 miles in radius there in that area. Didn't have a car, didn't have a bicycle, didn't have any of that kind of stuff. But He did what He came to do. And He died on the cross and He left the rest of the world to us. Amen? He left the rest of the world to us for us to pray that there be laborers in the harvest. That we can believe that those laborers, as they go, will see people saved. And then, if we really pray, and we really, what would God do for you if you really prayed for world missions? How would He tenderize your heart like a meat tenderizer? Right? Just keep you crying over and over and over for the lost souls around the world. When you see slides and when you see things that are going on, He just keeps our heart bloody and keeps our heart tender for what He wants us to do. And whenever He's willing to talk to us, whenever He's willing to tell us something from His Word, then we're willing to listen because we're ready and willing. What would God do for me if I really prayed? I would really believe. Amen? Then if I really believe what God wanted me to do in missions, if you really believe that you really believe God wants you to tithe, some people don't believe it yet. I mean, I'm not talking about you. I don't know about the finances here or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But there's some people that don't really believe that they should tithe. Amen? But those that believe are good tithers. Amen? Those that believe, man, it's like clockwork, man. We're going to die, but we're going to put our offering in place. We're going to put our tithe in offering. Amen? It's going to be there first. Even if we go on vacation, even if we go do this, even if we do that, we're going to put that tithe in there because we believe that that's where it ought to be. Amen? If I'm praying for missions, it's the same thing. If I'm praying for missions, God's going to help my belief. If I really believe in missions, then my missions offering is going to be there without a doubt, without any stop, without any problem. Amen? Because there's people around the world that I believe in, that they're going to take the gospel to those dying souls that I'll never be able to reach if I believe in missions. And then you're a part of it. If you really believe in missions, you're a part of it. Those people that have been saved in Africa, those people that have been saved in Madagascar, for Brother Ben, how much does that make you feel that you're really a part of it? Because he's homegrown. He's from here. Amen? And you're a part of that. Every time you put money in there, you know something is going to go out there to help them. And it's going to help them to see people saved. You're part of it. It's like your hand there. Acts chapter 16, you saw on the slides. Come over and help us. You've been over and you've helped Ben. Amen? You've been over and helped us by your prayers. Amen? You've been over and these other missionaries that you support, every one of them on the walls, you put your hand or your foot or your toes or whatever over into that ministry to help them have souls because you believe in missions, that you can be a part of it. Amen? But if I really prayed, what could God do? If I really believed, what could God do with me? Amen? And if I really worked and did everything that I could for missions around the world, what could God do? Could He actually take me to a place where I have to learn another language? Would He actually take me to a place where I have to change my menu? Would He actually take me to a place where I'd have to say, well, you know, and I've said this in churches, you could say it too, Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Amen? You've heard that before, probably. But could God really do that? I didn't think he could do that with the Arkansas hillbilly. I go back there. I don't talk like one of them anymore. I've changed that. Only English they speak over there, and I've got to be linguistic correct for all the churches we go to, so y'all would understand me and stuff like that. But I still say y'all. So, all right, so y'all forgive me for that. But how could God do something in Kenya like he's done unless he was willing to do it? Because I couldn't do it. I just asked God to help us and give us a few men that we could train like he did his disciples. And then the rolling thing, God is just working it out in his grace. And even while we're here, people are being trained for the gospel, to preach the gospel. Even while we're here, ministries are moving on and going forward. And just some examples. Jane and James are helping to lead the ladies' ministry and the men's ministry of our church there in Key C. And they came to me. He'd been visiting church. James, he hadn't been married yet. He'd been visiting the church for probably 6 months. And he pulled me aside and said, "Man, I really need to get saved. I've been under conviction every week." And I said, "Well, I want you to do it in church because you've been in church every Sunday." Okay, I'm talking to him on Sunday morning. Before dealing with him on Sunday morning and then having service, you've been in church every week and you need to do this in front of all the people there. And so he come down to the altar at the end of the service. I mean, he's coming to church wearing a suit and tie, dressed better than anybody else. He's a school teacher and has a good job and everything, but he was too shy to go in front of everybody, in front of all these, he looked at them as lower class compared to him. And I said, "You make a profession of faith in front of all these people and let them know that God can save you, and that'll bring his pride down a little bit." But he got saved by the grace of God. He got married. He got his wife. She got saved. And I did a wedding for him, and they've been baptized, and now they're helping there, and they just had their first baby. And it's just a blessing. But the little culture thing there, they don't have a baby's name. They don't have a name for it. They haven't agreed on what name is a boy. Firstborn son, so it's this competition, I guess, between them or whatever in the family. They want to try to see what they look like and how they act and before they give them a name, and stuff like that. So sometimes it'll take up a month or something like that before the child gets his name. But anyway, but that's people that God has changed and God has worked in. This lady used to use her home to make her own liquor. And she had her own steel. I mean, it wasn't much, just some rocks and stuff. I mean, I didn't go through and look at everything, but but she did everything out of her home and sold it and everything, but her husband's coming to church. Was in church 15 years in a Baptist church and other places and came to our town, was attending church for a long time, and she's still at home selling the booze. Selling her, her liquor. And went over to her house and shortly after starting a church, and went over to her house because I'm asking them to take me to people that you know need to be saved and things like that. And he took me to his house. He's taking care of a bunch of the grandchildren because some of his children have died. But we went in there and shared the simple word of salvation. Francisca got saved that day, and now she's helping and working in the ladies' ministries as well in that church. And now he's our deacon. So God has really used his word, amen, to change lives and to change people so that they can be saved and change their lives. But if I really believed, then I'm going to do something about it. Amen. If I believe in tithing, I'm going to tithe. If I believe in giving to missions, I'm going to be giving to missions. Amen. If I really believe that God wants laborers, look at that verse again. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." I looked at that verse long enough, and it spoke to me loud enough that it wasn't up to me to pray. I had to pray a little bit. I had to pray. Not a little bit, but I had to pray. But that's not all I had to do, according to that verse. Amen? Pray therefore. It wasn't all I had to do to give in order for me to obey that verse. I had to look deeper into what God wanted here. Amen? I had to look deeper and see the laborer part. Pray that He would send forth laborers. And I believe God sends laborers every single day around the world. Those that pray, those that believe, and those that are willing to work. Amen? If you look at Jesus Christ and what He did in verse 35 and on and throughout all the Gospels, that's all He did. And He was the greatest missionary alive. Amen? That's all He did. He prayed. He started His ministry in prayer. His disciples wanted to learn how to pray. He believed in what He was doing, and He went and did it. Amen? If we really believe in missions, then we're not just going to give to it. We're going to do it. Amen? We're going to do it. What would God do with me? Ask yourself. What, a young person, older folks, I'm talking to you about your family and your children. Amen? What could God do? Maybe there's circumstances and things in your life and health and things like that that really it's almost impossible. Amen? But if you really believed in it for your children, amen, then we might be able to reach this world in our lifetime. Amen? We might, through the grace of God, be able to reach this world within our lifetime. What could God do for me if I worked in missions or if I did what I believed? Amen? It's not just to pray. It's not just to give. But it's also to go and continue giving and continue praying. It all continues to go together. Amen? But I heard this song, and it's really touching me. I don't know the words to all of it, but this little part really got my attention. I wrote it down in my Bible. It said, I should go without knowing. Remember Abraham went without knowing the place where he was going to go? And every detail of our life, we're never going to know it when we're in God's will. We're never going to know everything, but He's going to show us one step at a time and show us to the place. That's exactly how we made it to Kesey and the place where we're working right now. Each and every step, I said, God, show me what I need to know now. When You show me what I need to know now, let me finish it. Amen? And then right before I get to the finish line, right before I do the final exam for that one, just show me what's next. Amen? And then what's next? What's next? And that's how we're working our ministry. We don't know what God's going to do next year, but we do know the path that He wants us to take to get there. Amen? Go without knowing. Give without glory. Amen? A lot of people want to be noticed for what they do and give. But I want to let you know from my heart, I'm only doing my reasonable service, as it says in Revelation, or Romans chapter 12. My reasonable service is all God wants. Anything more, anything less is unacceptable, but only my best. Amen? Is what my reasonable service is. And then love without limit. Love without limit. Without a stopping point, without a cap on it, without a, you know, just let it overflow and overflow and overflow and overflow. Love without limit. Amen? And then do without doubting. No, I don't know, you know. What's God going to do about this? Or how's He going to do this? How's He going to take care of this? And, you know, all the kind of questions that could come up. Amen? But if we know that we should pray for laborers, if we know that we should help send them to the field, if we know that we should try to go if God gives us the opportunity, amen? Even when a doubt comes, that only comes from the devil. That only comes from the devil. And so what could God do? Let's read that verse again. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. What could God do if I really prayed, if I really believed, and if I really did what I believe? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we love You and we thank You for this night. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for these good people. We pray that You continue to use this message in our hearts as we go throughout the week, and pray for Pastor again and help him to have a good day and good night and services there. Lord, we bless. Ask Your blessing upon invitation. Ask Your blessing upon this church and everything that You want to do here. Jesus' name we pray.